Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
We welcome you yet again to another segment here on the Scripture Spotlight. This week, as we jump into our series, we are looking at Bible principle number 15. This is that marriage ceremony, right? Baptism, when you say, I forsake all else, I want the world to know I am committing to this man, Jesus the Christ. You see, Adventists, Seventh-day Adventists, just like other Christians, believe and practice the biblical custom of baptism by immersion. That's where you go fully into the waters. You see, this is very much the similar way that Jesus Christ was himself baptized by John the Baptist. Now, over the next couple of days, as we go through our series, we'll be exploring the practice of baptism, its purpose, and its significance even in modern day Christianity. So join us as we'll be going through this, learning about it, but also hoping that one day you, my dear friend, as you're tuning in, will be able to commit your life to Jesus in this fashion through the ceremony of baptism. They call it the watery grave, as you die to yourself, your past self, and wake up, rise up, resurrect anew in Jesus the Christ. Now, we've got our joining us in this conversation, our pastor Mfundisi Matambo, who's going to be taking us through, and we want to invite you, share your thoughts, your comments. We want to hear from you. Do you have any questions? Talk to us on +27 734703520. Good morning to you and welcome to Adventist World Radio.
Good morning to you, Brother Derek. I hope I find you well.
By God's grace.
I want to greet also those who will be listening by faith. I hope there will be somebody listening.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. By faith, definitely they are listening and are tuning in to this session. Pastor, thank you so much for availing yourself as we jump into this, trying to unpack what baptism is about. It's a widely practiced, but the approach, the methodology, heavily contested, and we want to see if we can make it plain and simple. And maybe let's start with the definition. Maybe that can help us actually find a direction in which we can start off in our journey in the study. What is baptism, and what does it mean? What is it symbolizing?
Okay, I'll start by saying that baptism symbolizes death to sin and the resurrection to a new life. We find this in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 4. When Paul says that when we were baptized, we were buried with Christ in death. And as he rose, we also wake up, or we are also rising up in the newness of life. So that's the meaning of baptism. It is also a public confession of our faith in Christ. We are declaring to the world that we have become disciples of Christ. And this is what Christ said in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, that go ye therefore and preach. When they believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the. He says, go ye and make disciples.
For you to be
a disciple of Christ, it means you must be baptized, so that you publicly confess that I'm now a disciple of Christ. In other words, I am abandoning this past life and I'm joining myself to Christ. And this will be the life that I'll be living. I would also want to say quickly that, it is an expression of repentance and conversion.
Okay.
In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we hear people after Peter had preached, then the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts.
Yes.
And they came to Peter and said, what shall we do? And then Peter said, repent ye and be baptized.
Yeah.
And for the forgiveness of your what? For the remission of your sins. This is what Peter said. So baptism is also that it plays that role of expressing your repentance and your conversion. Then lastly, I would say that baptism it symbolizes, or it's a way of you coming to join the fellowship of believers. You see, in every, let me talk of the people in the world. When you want to join their cult, let me say, if you want to join a cult of gangsters or robbers, they've got their rituals, which they do, so that they see if we are now together. They will tell you that probably we need to cut you and your blood as it drips, then you need to, we need also to test your blood, or you drink the blood of everyone here, so that we become one.
Sure.
You see now, that is in the world. Now, when you join Christ, he says, for me to see that you can now become part of those who in fellowship together, who are my disciples, you need to be baptized. So it's an entrance of it's an entrance into the fellowship of believers. Baptism, that's what it also said. I think in a nutshell, we can. There's more to this, but I think for now
you can settle on that. And yes, I think that exactly. That's a profound one. And thank you so much, Mfundisi, defining and giving us the meaning. I want us to maybe touch on the symbolism, and then maybe, I don't know, you can then guide us if maybe we are trying to eisegete, speak into the text and force it to define something that is not. Because I've heard many speak about baptism being the watery grave and being a symbol of the death of Christ and so forth, and how we are also dying and so forth. I don't know, is there truth to this? Does it symbolize anything? Can we draw any significance to the way it happens? I mean, earlier on in our introduction, we emphasized imagine like Jesus as though there's something symbolic about that. Talk to us a bit about that.
I alluded to it just a bit, but maybe we can go back to Romans chapter 6. Then it speaks of when we are being baptized, we are being buried. The past life is being buried as Christ was buried. You are burying your past life of sin into the water. So as Christ rose up from the grave, you are also coming up out of the water, having left your past life. What I can say is that, you see, we can only bury something that has died. The first thing is that you must die. You must die to sin. You die to the past life. You renounce the past life of sin and you die to it.
Yeah.
Then when you go to the baptismal pool, you are burying your past life. So that as Christ rose from the grave, you are also rising from the waters to signify a new life with Christ.
Yeah.
But death has already occurred before you came to the water. That's when many people make a mistake. If you don't die before you come to the water, you might as well get into the water and come out the way you were in the past. So you must first die before you are buried.
Is that then meaning, Mfundisi? Because I've heard some believers who say, no, I need to just sort some things out before I come to Christ. Is this the sentiment that they are drawing from to say, no, I need to come first, be okay, and put away some nonsense in my life, straighten some crookedness, and then I can come and offer myself to Christ and be baptized?
The challenge is when they try to make themselves okay by themselves. That's a problem. You cannot make yourself okay.
Okay.
You have to surrender to Christ first. He's the only one who can make you okay. Then you are baptized in his name. You can't make yourself okay, then come to him.
Okay.
There is no way you can be right by yourself and then come to Christ. What is that power that makes you right by yourself? It is Christ's power.
Yes.
So you just have to come to Christ. Come as you are, then he is the one who does you the cleansing. Then he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit.
So what if I'm to hear you correct, Mfundisi, maybe you will guide. You're saying here that when I think of Christianity, I say, I think I want to try this thing out. I don't then come and get baptized. I come and I hear, and I think Christ mentions the issue of counting the cost. And then if I'm sure this is what I want to do, then I commit my life and I get baptized and I forsake, like you're saying, he then does this cleansing work. And as he does it, I then commit fully to him because I have decided to follow him, as opposed to just saying I'm passing by the road. There's someone doing something. Yeah, let me see what it is, and then I just jump into the water. Am I hearing you correct by defining it like that?
That's exactly because you see, if you just pass by and you hear someone preaching about baptism and you just get into the water before you understand why you are getting into the water, you might as well come out of the water the same person you were. So baptism must take place only when you have come to Christ and he has taught you his life. When he has taught you and you agree with what he's teaching you, then you can say, I love this way of life. Then you're baptized.
That's
how it has to be.
Where does this thing of baptism come from? Is this, I don't know, is it a ceremony? Is it an act? Is it an activity? I don't know. Where does it come from? Where does it originate?
Okay. when you read the Old Testament, there were some cleansing rituals which were done in the Old Testament, which required water for cleansing. For instance, when people have had a disease, then they would be cleansed or washed. After they are healed, then they are cleansed from that disease. They would use water. You go read Leviticus 14, verse 8 to 9. You read also some purification processes that were done, especially after a woman giving birth. They would also cleanse themselves. And so we can trace and find the roots of cleansing and washing from the Old Testament.
All right.
But when we come now to the New Testament, we see that the Jews themselves had some rituals which they did to the Gentiles. If a Gentile wants to become a Jew, that Gentile will first go under some ceremonial washing. This washing symbolized living their old life of the Gentile life and becoming part of God's covenant people. But the person who gave us now the full picture of the origins of baptism is of the Christian baptism that we have is John the Baptist. When John the Baptist came, he came preaching the baptism of repentance, Mark chapter 1, verse 4. That's when we start to see the concept of baptism being applied. And this is where the Christians borrow the baptismal the baptism process that we are doing right now. But before I say this, the word baptism, it comes from the Greek word, which is called baptizo.
Okay.
Now, the word baptizo means to immerse or to dip or to plunge. It was a common word. I don't know if it is common now, but it was a common word in the Greek world. It was used almost daily in manufacturing industry when they were dyeing clothes. If a cloth is white and they want to change it to red, they would dip it, they would plunge it, they would immerse it, they would baptizo it. So it is baptized into a dyeing color.
Okay.
If it's white, then it comes out red. So when Christians were looking at this, they said, this is how a Christian should be. You are a sinner and you are being baptized and you come out a new person altogether. So when they looked at the Greeks dipping clothes and dyeing clothes, they said, this is exactly the way people should be baptized. Wow. You must be immersed and you come out a new person.
Wow. I love that.
So those are the origins, I can
say. I love it. And we then see when you go through the New Testament, just as it begins, a man by the name John in the wilderness there by the river, baptizing. And one comes that John is even surprised. Hey, come on. What are you trying to do here? You must be the one on this side and you baptize me. I'm busy with other people, but when it comes to you and I, you need to actually be dipping me in the water and cleansing me. He's referring to Jesus the Christ and he says, this is the Lamb of God who is without sin. Question, if the man is without sin, not needing cleansing, why is Jesus needing to be baptized?
Jesus he himself, I think the text you're alluding to is in Matthew chapter 3.
Yeah.
And Jesus he himself said that, Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, we need to be baptized. And as you are saying that John refused to baptize Jesus. Mm. But Jesus answered and said, I'm reading from Matthew 3, verse 16. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Mm. So Christ is saying, even if you are doing good already, even if you have not sinned, because he had not sinned and he was doing good, he was walking about the streets and doing all the good work that he can be, that he was doing to the people.
Yeah.
But he then says, I still need to be baptized because this is the fulfillment of righteousness. So if there's anyone today who is doing good out there and thinks that they don't need to be baptized since they are doing good, it's not true because Christ himself said it is the fulfillment of righteousness. So you just have to fulfill righteousness by getting baptized, even if you have not sinned.
And I think it then goes to draw that there might be a parallel, but not so much the same thing between righteousness and sinlessness, or not sinning from our perspective at least, and what God is expecting us to be. And I remember someone actually said that even if you are born, even a baby who has not sinned in their life, they need Jesus to die for them, for their cleansing of their lives. Pastor, I want to come to a very controversial point, and maybe you can help clarify. When you consider baptism, and its role for salvation, you hear Christ in John chapter 3 responding to Nicodemus and saying almost a direct law of baptism and entrance to heaven. If you're not born again of water and spirit, you won't make it into the kingdom of heaven. Is this how we should then take it, that without baptism you won't be saved?
Okay, I would say yes or no. Yes and no at the same time.
Okay.
Remember, there is a thief on the cross. He accepts Jesus on the last minute.
Yes.
And that person was not baptized, but Jesus promised him paradise. If he had an opportunity to be taken down from the cross and to go back to his household and continue with life, he would have to be baptized to fulfill what Jesus said. If you are not baptized, you cannot make it to heaven. But the fact that he accepted Christ at the last minute of his life, there is no way he could be baptized. So there are people who are going to make it to heaven without baptism, but having accepted Christ in conditions that were not possible for them to be baptized, but they'll still make it. But for all those with an opportunity to be baptized today, they should be baptized. Unless or else they will not make it to heaven. So it is a serious condition. If you have an opportunity to be baptized, you have to be baptized.
You have to take it. You have to take it.
Yes, yes.
What about those who don't know that they need to do this, Muruti? I'm thinking of many people who died before John had gone into the wilderness and never got a chance. I'm thinking of maybe people from other faiths who don't get into the waters.
They will be saved with the light they had in those days. If the light they had did not require them to be baptized, then did they? God will look at did they faithfully live to the light they had?
Okay.
For us, we are now living knowing that we should be baptized, and we say no, we want to be like people who in the 17th century when the Bible had not come to Africa. We cannot make it.
Yeah.
Because we have a light that tells us to be baptized.
So it's about the light that you are having. Do you live up to
that? The light that you have in your current time. That's true.
Maybe let's look at the reverse of this approach that we were just addressing, Pastor. So we're saying baptism is something that Christ himself says you need this for you to make it. And if you have opportunity, you must make sure you take it. Only exceptions are for those who had no opportunity but had desire. What about those who are baptized? Does that mean then that they are guaranteed? It's like a key into heaven. You have made it access.
Thank you for asking that, because there are many people right now who believe that once saved, always saved.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for bringing up this, because it's very important to our listeners. Once saved is always saved. Once saved, always saved. It's a satanic concept.
Hey.
It doesn't come from Christ. It's not biblical.
True.
Why? Because you remember, we have Judas Iscariot in the Bible. I believe when Christ was baptized, Matthew 3:16, he also made sure his disciples were baptized, because he would not be going about and ministering with disciples who are not baptized, and yet himself is baptized. Yeah. So all his disciples, we were baptized. Now, but we see that of all of them, Judas Iscariot died a doomed person. So it is about making your calling and election sure. It is about working your salvation with fear and trembling after baptism.
Yeah.
You can't just say, now I'm baptized, I can do whatever I want, I'm guaranteed that I'll make it to heaven, because Christ said if you're not baptized, you'll not make it. And now I'm baptized, so it's obvious I'm going to make it. You'll be fooling yourself. Because there are people who lost their salvation along the way by their behavior. So it is about making sure you stay on the land, you stay on the right side of Christ. If you depart from Christ like Judas, surely even your baptism will not save you. Yeah.
May God help us that we are not found wanting when it comes to matters such as this. I'm reminded of, I think it's Paul who writes in Corinthians and says, I die daily. I don't just daily. Trust to say, no, when I was 15 years old, I went under the watery grave. No. Even in my 40s, my 50s, I'm dying daily and making sure I'm recommitting daily to God. Mfundisi, what a session, what a way to lay up the foundation for our conversation. We cannot wait to see how we will then go from here on. And we pray that when all is said and done, like you said, we have faith, someone will be taking this gospel and saying, I want this Jesus. Please, where is the water? Like the Ethiopian asks, I want to also be tasting of these waters.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Mfundisi. May God bless you and a blessed day further, and to wish it again tomorrow.
Sure. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
God bless you. That's how we wrap up our session for today with the Pastor Matambo. What's your take? Baptism, is it something you are considering? Is it something that you have already received? Talk to us. +27 73 470 3520.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.